From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Steve Curwood is away. Can it really be 5 years ago? 9/11 is still raw in our hearts and minds, and it continues to claim victims. The plume of dust from the collapse of the Twin Towers flew high into the air and deep into the lungs of people living and working near Ground Zero. We have two updates on the health effects of the World Trade Center disaster. We begin with reporter Rachel Gottbell.
Today, Ground Zero is a construction site fenced off from the public, a place of silent memorials and tour guides.
Building one and two, 110 stories, over 400 meters, they both came down.
Looking at the site today, it's hard to imagine that precisely 5 years ago, this was a scene from purgatory. When the planes hit the Twin Towers on 9/11, the buildings were pulverized. It's estimated that 2 million tons of dust containing cement, asbestos, glass, lead, PCBs, and other known carcinogens rained down on Lower Manhattan.
Any questions?
We saw on TV where all the dust was going. About how far did it go now that we're here?
Well, it depends which way the wind was blowing. So the first day the wind was blowing towards New Jersey's Staten Island.
Ever since the attacks, researchers have been trying to understand the health effects of the dust and smoke that filled the area. Among them is Dr. Paul Lioi, professor of occupational and environmental health at Rutgers University. Lioi took dust samples at Ground Zero soon after 9/11.
This is unprecedented. We don't have any benchmark from which to play from. We're looking at a material that's a mixture that we never, ever characterized before. So that I cannot say to you that the exposure will lead to a long-term health effect. There's no answer to that question at this point in time.
But for many of those who worked on the rescue and recovery at Ground Zero, there is no question that their medical problems are due to the air they breathed at the site. John Sferrazzo was an iron worker who volunteered at Ground Zero.
The smell of death was in the air. You could smell the bodies burning, or what was left of bodies burning. Sometimes the smoke was so bad your eyes would burn, you couldn't open your eyes.
Sferrazzo says at first he was offered paper masks to protect against the dust and the smoke. He wasn't worried about toxic exposure because just days after the attacks, government officials said the air was safe. But he began to get sick.
I was starting to cough. And then I was coughing up these things that looked like silver dollars. They were silverish gray and sometimes there was blood in it. Short after that, I started getting severe lung infections and then succumbing to pneumonia. And I've never had pneumonia in my life, nor have I ever had any pulmonological problems.
Today, John Sferrazzo is 51 and can no longer do construction work. He receives workers' compensation and federal disability payments because he's been diagnosed with reactive airway disease, gastroreflux disease, and post-traumatic stress disorder. More than 40,000 people worked in the recovery and rescue at Ground Zero. And thousands of workers, including firefighters, police, and construction crews, have filed for workers' compensation and disability. Cities, state, and federal agencies say they provided respirators and urged workers to wear them. But less than half of the workers say they did.
Good deep breaths with your mouth wide open, please. And again. And again?
Dr. Robin Herbert is examining Daniel Lewis. Lewis delivered lunches to rescue and recovery workers in the days after 9/11. He is now disabled.
I was taking antibiotics. They was considering steroids because I have a hard time breathing.
Lewis is one of 16,000 workers from Ground Zero being evaluated at the World Trade Center treatment program at Mount Sinai Medical Center. The patients here range from undocumented immigrants who clean dust out of nearby office buildings to emergency service workers to firefighters who worked at the site for months. Dr. Herbert directs the program.
When we would look in people's nasal passages, it was as if the nasal tissue were just burnt out. It was bright cherry red. I mean, our patients initially, they couldn't sleep through the night. They couldn't sleep for more than an hour. They were coughing so badly.
In a just-released study of 10,000 patients in the Mount Sinai program, 70% show signs of new and lingering health problems related to their time at the World Trade Center site.
One of the primary causes of the respiratory problems was exposure to pulverized cement and glass. The cement in particular was very alkaline, very high pH, extremely irritating, and we think that that then caused chronic inflammation in our patients.
The federal government is paying for Mount Sinai's monitoring of patients, but it's the Red Cross that's footing the bill for their medical care. 40% of those in the program don't have health insurance.
Thousands of people are going to die from this problem.
That's attorney David Warby. Warby is suing New York City, federal agencies, and private contractors who were responsible for the cleanup at Ground Zero.
This case is about thousands upon thousands of people who are sick, many of whom are dying, a lot more of whom will die because of the rush to clean up garbage after September 11th when we were not saving lives because of a governmental decision and contractors' decisions to do everything possible to keep 50,000 people busy 24/7 with zero protection in the middle of the worst toxic waste site ever.
Warby represents 8,200 clients who worked at Ground Zero. One of them is New York City Police Detective John Walcott. In 2003, Walcott was diagnosed with leukemia. He believes working at the 9/11 site caused his medical problems.
Well, when I got admitted to the hospital, I was diagnosed that morning, and they said you had a week to live, you had to go to the hospital. The nurses would come in and interview, and they found out what form of leukemia I had. They fielded about 100 questions about, were you ever do any kind of employment with chemicals? Did I ever work in the airports? Did I ever deliver jet fuel? Was I ever around benzene? And I didn't put two and two together because I had other things going through my mind at that time. And my sister said, what do you think was burning down at the World Trade Center?
Walcott thinks the fuel from the jets that crashed into the towers may be responsible for his cancer and his partner in the police department needing a kidney transplant. Attorney David Warby says the connection is obvious.
How does one partner have kidney failure and one have leukemia? And the only thing they have in common after 12 years of partnership is 911. I mean, sitting in my office a week and a half ago were six cops with leukemia. These are all people who have been diagnosed in the last year. All people who had significant, at least 2 weeks, many of them 7 months, some of them 2 years of exposure at 911.
5 years after 9/11, the question of the health effects from Ground Zero is a matter for medical researchers and the courts. New York City health officials have just announced a new $16 million program to monitor and treat residents of Lower Manhattan and 9/11 workers. The Bush administration has allocated $52 million for medical treatment, but federal officials admit that's not nearly enough for those who may seek medical care because of the effects of Ground Zero. For Living on Earth, I'm Rachel Gottbaum.
The Mount Sinai World Trade Center screening program that reporter Rachel Gottbaum just cited in her story was founded by Dr. Philip Landrigan. He's chairman of the Department of Community and Preventive Medicine at the medical school there and one of the authors of the 9/11 health effects study, which found the dust at Ground Zero was the cause of health problems. He joins me on the phone. Thanks, Dr. Landrigan.
Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be here.
You expect this to be chronic problems? Or are they going to be disabling problems?
Well, those are, of course, the big unanswered questions. I think the best way to give a partial answer to the question is to tell you about the composition of the dust that these people inhaled. The dust was very toxic. 60% or so of the material was comprised of pulverized concrete, very alkaline, very caustic, pH of 10 or 11. In essence, what this material did was it seared the upper and lower respiratory tracts and caused burning, which progressed over time into scarring, which I think is why we're now seeing evidence of restrictive lung disease. The scarring causes shrinking and distortion of tissues and hence the functional abnormalities that we're seeing. I'm concerned, given the nature of these problems and given the type of disease that we're seeing, that the effects are going to be permanent in a substantial proportion of these people, probably not in all. We're learning to treat them aggressively with steroids and other approaches, and we certainly get some benefit from that. But there's a high likelihood that a lot of this impairment is going to be permanent.
Now, soon after 9/11 happened, just a week after, actually, people went back to work. The Environmental Protection Agency said it's safe to go down there and breathe the air.
Yes, that's true, and it's unfortunately that statement may have been a bit premature. The data that we presented make it plain that the air was not safe.
So what happens now to these people?
Well, first of all, we have a good continuous stream of federal funding for diagnosis and evaluation. Secondly, the federal government has made the decision to provide money for the first time for treatment. Up until now, the feds have been giving money for diagnosis and evaluation, and all that was well and good. The problem, though, was that approximately 40% had no health insurance, or if they'd had it before they began work at Ground Zero, they lost it. as a consequence of the disabilities they incurred, it was clear that diagnostic and screening programs weren't enough, and so we're very grateful that the feds have come through with funds for treatment. Also, the mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, is appropriating $16 million from the city budget to establish a much-enhanced diagnosis and screening and treatment program at Bellevue Hospital, and that's obviously a very important step to the good that will help a lot of people.
We've been talking about the health consequences, but the physical health consequences. What about the mental health consequences of 9/11?
Well, we know that there have been a lot of mental health consequences. We know that folks have suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Some have the full-blown syndrome. Others have symptoms that move in that direction. Still more folks have suffered depression. We're in the process right now of wrapping up an analysis of the mental health findings, which we intend to publish within the next couple of months.
Now, your study found that 70%, 7 out of 10, had some kind of serious health effects. Did you have any deaths that were directly attributed to the exposures of 9/11 in New York?
There have been several deaths reported now among responders, and there was a finding issued just recently by a coroner in New Jersey in which the coroner declared that a particular death was related to World Trade Center exposures. We certainly don't have enough deaths yet to do any kind of epidemiologic analysis on them, but we're very concerned about deaths. We're very concerned about cancers. We're very concerned about cases of severe lung disease, of which several have been reported. And we have now in place a very aggressive tracking system for following up on cases such as those when they occur.
Dr. Philip Landrigan is chairman of the Department of Community and Preventive Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine and one of the founders of the World Trade Center Medical Screening Program. Dr. Landrigan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. It was a pleasure.
Coming up, hoping for the best and preparing for the worst for residents living near a chemical weapons depot. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.